doctor, the word for healer and wise man throughout the universe. We get that word from you, you know. But if you carry on the way you are, what might that word come to mean? To the people of the Gamma Forests, the word doctor means mighty warrior. How far you've come. And now they've taken a child, the child of your best friends, and they're going to turn her into a weapon just to bring you down. And all this, my love, in fear of you.
Welcome to Two Guys, a Girl in the Podcast. Today we're talking about a Doctor Who episode. The Doctor Who episode we're going to be talking about is called A Good Man Goes to War by Stephen Moffat. But before we get into that, I am Ken.
Julia.
Annie.
And obviously this episode, we're going to be talking a lot about. It's a very important episode. It's also a very full episode, full of what? We'll find out. Before we get into that Doctor Who news, we do have another death to report. Pamela Pamela Salem passed away just recently. She was died of age 80. She was in several episodes of Doctor Who, including she was in Remembrance of the Daleks, and she was in Remembrance of the Daleks. Is that what I said? And she was also in Robots of Death.
She was very good in Robots of Death.
Yeah. And she played one of the voices of Zoyan in The Face of Evil. I don't think I knew that. I thought she was in an earlier episode, but I guess that's it. She's Miss Moneypenny in the Never Say Never Again James Bond film. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about the movie in ages. Wow.
Yeah, I haven't watched it in a while either. She was in Blake 7. She was in a few other things. All Creatures Great and Small, obviously, Tripods. She was in ER, too. She moved to America. She was not in Game of Thrones.
But was she in Midsommar Murders? Because that's the other one that everybody's in.
Oh, I don't know. Looks like she moved to America later in the career and was in like Magnum PI and Party of Five and stuff. So that's probably why she's not in some of these British shows. But anyways, so that's that. Anything else you guys want to talk about for what you've been watching or reading or whatever?
I've been watching Masters of the Air on Apple TV.
Okay.
It's about the World War II American bombers.
Okay.
And what they go through and how high the casualty rate was and everything. And I haven't seen him yet, but Shuti Gatwa is going to be in later episodes. I assume when they get to Tuskegee Air. I can't say it. The Airmen.
Airmen, yeah.
Yeah, the air guys.
Because
he's in the opening credits. They have a little shot of him and everything. So it's like, ooh, he's coming. But he's not there yet.
Interesting.
It's a very good series. I just want to say it's got so much detail. You really feel the loss that everybody's going through, how hard it was for everyone. It's also very brutal. So, yeah. Especially this last episode.
I've been watching The New Look, also on Apple TV.
Ooh, that looks good. How is
it? It's really good. I mean, I would never call myself a fashionista, but I am interested in fashion. And I have read a novel a few years ago about Christian Dior and his life during the war. And I don't know if that's what this is based off of or not, but the book was good. This is really good. Ben Mendelsohn plays Christian Dior. Maisie Williams plays his sister, Catherine. And Juliette Binoche plays Coco Chanel. John Malkovich is in it as Dior's boss, because Dior worked for this other designer first. I've only watched the first three episodes. I think the fourth episode came out last week. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm really enjoying it. It's just, it's really interesting about, you know, occupied Paris during World War II, and Coco Chanel does not come out smelling of roses at all in this. So, but, and I would not have recognized Juliette Binoche if I didn't know that that was her playing Coco Chanel. She looks completely different.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. That's why I signed up for Apple TV.
It's on my list of things to watch. I just haven't had the time with everything else. So,
yeah.
But it's good to know it's worth watching.
Yeah, I think it's great. But I'm a big period piece person.
I'm watching for the first time, since I never saw it when it came out, Freaks and Geeks.
Oh. How is that?
It's really good. I mean, it takes place in 1980, I think. So it's right when I was in high school. And right. It takes place in a high school. And obviously, it's the stars in it are like, you know, Linda Cardellini. I can't even pronounce her name. James Franco is in it. Obviously, Jason Segel and Seth Rogen, you know, pretty big names. The kid, the main geek, John Francis Daly, you might not know his name, but he's been like writing and directing some of the bigger films right now. It's like he did, let's see, what does it say here? Spider-Man, he was the co-writer of Spider-Man Homecoming. He also wrote and directed Dungeons and Dragons, the newer film there with Chris Pine. So he's making it pretty big, but yeah, it's one season. It's not that many episodes. But this is the first time I decided we're watching it as a family, which is rare because we don't, Melanie doesn't usually watch stuff, but she's likes the high school angle of it and everything. We're always talking to her afterwards and saying, how accurate is this for your high school? You know, and it's really exaggerated, but it's like, this stuff happened when I was in high school, you know, the locker rooms and the towels and just the stuff that the different people, you have your freaks, you have your geeks, you have your sports jocks and all that and everything. It's pretty good. But that's all I'm watching. So let's get into A Good Man Goes to War. Holy mackerel.
Let's start with the good things first.
Okay. Now let's move on to the bad things. Oh, wait. There's good things. Okay. Sorry.
I like how it brought a lot of the different characters together. You know, Madame Vastra, we got Strax showing up. We've got his whole collection of friends comes there. And I thought that was a very good aspect of seeing everybody, him calling in all his debts.
Yeah.
I also like the family, seeing Rory and Amy as a family for a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I liked that Rory was a badass in this for most.
Yes.
Of it. You know, I mean, he really was like, screw you, this is my wife and my baby, and we're going to fix this.
Rory really stepped up in this episode.
Yeah.
I agree with that part. I like the part when he goes in and he meets up with her for the first time, or, you know, when he rescues her and then all that other stuff. I like the fact that that Amy's talking about how he's on his way to get me. He's going to be the man that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And everyone's thinking it's the doctor, but no, it's actually Rory. Mm-hmm. And so that was pretty good. One of my worst scenes, was related to this is when Rory is on the Cyberman ship and all the ships are blowing up behind him and stuff like that. Rory is a very spastic character. And yet in this, like you mentioned, he's kind of like another doctor in this one. And I didn't like it. I thought it was, the rest of it was fine, but in that one particular scene, it looked cool, but I'm like, I don't know if Rory would have enough to do that. and keep a straight face and not turn around and go, oh my God, you know.
I think you could. I think that becoming a father change, again, I don't have kids and you guys do, so I can't speak to it, but I think that becoming a parent changes everything. Knowing that his wife wasn't there to begin with and then finding out there was a baby, I think this would really change one's perspective on the whole thing and make him that angry to do this, be a stone face kind of guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he was like, screw this, we're getting my wife and my baby back, and I don't care what I have to blow up to get them.
Mm-hmm.
I also like my favorite character in this episode is, I don't remember where, I don't have her name listed.
Christina, which can't be your favorite.
Well, Christina, she's played by Christina Chan. She's the soldier who
her name's Lorna.
Lorna, there is.
Yeah, Lorna, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that character because it's one of the characters, she's like, she had an encounter with a doctor when she was a young kid, and she almost to a degree is like the rest of those characters calling in a favor and they're all coming in. She's in the middle. She's the one of the bad guys, but she's there and ends up helping him. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really good. And of course, at the end, she just dies. And he just kind of like, he remembers her and says, oh, we had, we did really well together, and she's kind of like her life is complete or whatever. I thought that was one of the better parts of the episode.
But well, did he remember her? Because he just says they ran, and he runs with everybody.
Yeah. Didn't he say afterwards, he's like, he kind of alluded to he doesn't know her, but I don't
yeah.
know. She's but
I thought that was an interesting perspective because we haven't really seen that before. Of these people who just get impacted by the doctor and it makes an impact on their lives, and there's just no follow up to it. They're like here worshiping from afar, and they never see him again. They think they could be important to him, but he's just like, you're just one of a million people, you know.
Yeah, and she's played by Christina Chan, who plays Noonien Soon in Strange New Worlds, Star Trek Strange New Worlds. There's a Star Trek connection right there. There was a photo of her with a Dalek and a couple of people from Strange New Worlds, and I'm like, oh, well, they must have been at a convention or something like that, but I guess, oh, she has a Doctor Who connection because she was in it. Very cool. I like the whole thing where she says, run, you know, that thing keeps being brought up and everything. Run, of course, you know.
Well, it's on Demons Run. So
what was that?
Isn't the asteroid called Demon's Run?
Yeah. So, there's that. I don't know if I enjoyed bringing all the characters back because I felt like that had been happening too often and it wasn't as epic. And this was in the middle of the season, but it was at the end of a half season. I had forgotten about this, that this was one of those half seasons where at the end of this episode, we had to wait a while before the next one, if I remember correctly. So it almost felt like it could have been a season finale, but it really wasn't. It was just kind of like, but it did have the feel of a season finale, but it had
really
a big cliffhanger, but it had a big cliffhanger at the end.
And I like Rivers meeting with Rory on the jail trip when she's coming back on her birthday from skating with the doctor. Mm-hmm. Just the way she says his name when she first sees him.
Yeah.
You know at that point that what the relationship is, but it's just knowing who she is, it makes it different. It makes you see the scene differently.
I didn't hate this episode as much as you did.
I don't know.
It was great, but it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen.
No.
I think the suspense was good. I thought the tension in it was good. Mm-hmm. I did like that the characters came back, and then most of them got killed off, so you know you're not going to see them again.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that.
Well, when you say most of them got killed off, I mean the pirate and his kid come back, but they're still alive. And
Strax is dead, and... Doric is dead.
But he comes back, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's back with Madame Vashta serving tea and all that stuff.
How is that possible?
We didn't die. Oh,
well,
wasn't
there
that...
are clones.
I don't know. But, I mean, he's in an episode with... he's in that episode with Peter Capaldi. Clara. I don't know.
Anyway. I want to say that it's hard for me to watch this episode now because I'm mad at Moffat because of the ending. Because he kept saying all along, oh no, it's not River Song. It's not River Song. We all knew it was River Song, and then we were all proved right at the end.
Yeah.
So all I can think of when I watch this episode is Moffat lying. There are ways he could have addressed this without flat out lying, but I think it's just juvenile flat out lying. And it really colors this whole episode for me. It's just in my head watching every single scene.
Yep. There was an element of that. I think that definitely helps with it. The thing that bothered me the most was I don't like when the Doctor is drummed up as this really important character that is so powerful and all the monsters hate him and all this. They do this all the time. Russell T. Davis did it. Moffat did it. Russell T. Davis did it, for the most part, better maybe, but it still annoyed me. Why don't you show the Doctor doing something that we can then say, wow, that was good, instead of having everyone go, oh my God, it's the Doctor, and they're all quivering and they all run away, or the whole thing was set up to get ready for the Doctor to show up. And the way he shows up, by the way, was really funny, because he just shows up as one of the, hey, how's it going? I'm the headless monk or whatever, and,
which
think
is characteristic for the Doctor.
Yeah, but it just felt, and overall, it ended up being a trap, it all didn't go the way it was supposed to go, with a heartbreaking ending of the, there's the baby, and guess what, it's not there anymore. But I just didn't like that stuff where they're all like, we're all here to kill the Doctor. The Doctor means, whatever. It just was too much of a build-up, and it was just too much about the Doctor, which I don't like. I'd rather have a story about something else, and the Doctor comes in and takes care of things. When it's about the Doctor, I kind of like, okay, whatever, we get it. You guys, the writers are in love with the Doctor. We understand.
Well, everybody's in love with the Doctor to a certain extent. We're all fans. So.
Yeah, but I don't know. The planes coming in and attacking the space station. It's like, okay. Yeah, I get
that
it.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I do like the reunion with Rory and Amy. I mean, this is one of those things where, like, who's the baby? Well, it's like we have a very short, very, very condensed universe here. So it's probably someone we've met and blah, blah, blah. And, I don't think that was a huge surprise at the time. Maybe it was a little bit. Maybe I was kind of like, what?
No, everybody guessed it. Moffat even said his kid guessed it within 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. I do like the idea that there was this buildup of, like, and this is, again, not those Easter eggs, but the thing that kind of hints at what's to come, which I hate, but it's like, oh, the Doctor is going, he's rising high, but this is right before the low point comes and stuff like that. And River Song with her spoilers and all that, just kind of, again, we're kind of like, and then she's not telling Rory and Amy. She's just like, why don't you just read the thing? No, the piece of paper there or whatever. Just tell us. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it just kind of, that was annoying.
It makes me think of Monty Python skits where they yell, just get on with it. I mean, it's a good, I feel bad not liking this episode because they put so much work into it. There was all these different callbacks, there were all these different sets, all this action. But again, Moffat's lying just colors the whole thing for me. And it's hard for me to watch it without that.
I think this could have been done. Imagine this being done on a simpler level. I mean, and not have such a grand, you know, grandiose kind of like duh, building up this whole thing. And it's like, oh my God, it just was too much. And it was too much dramatic buildup. And instead, are not dramatic. It wasn't even, the drama part was good. I wish they could have done the whole thing, but have it on a smaller scale and not even had all the soldiers and the doctor and stuff like that, but just have this small little with the soldier that helps out and then dies. And then the whole thing with Rory and Amy and River could have been done. And just, that was the important part. And they focused on it eventually, but the rest of it was just kind of like, oh boy, you know, kind of roll your eyes going, okay, I get it.
Well, I feel like there were too many unanswered questions that had this not been such a chaotic mess of an episode, they could have answered. Like, how long was Amy a ganger? You know, how long has she been disappeared? And, like, you know, you see that thing.
Yeah.
On the TARDIS in a few episodes before, going pregnant, not pregnant, pregnant, not pregnant. But when did that happen? And why all of a sudden are we just finding out?
Well, I think the doctor does mention something like it could have happened before before they went to America. So before the beginning of this season. I don't know. I mean, there was a lot. You're right. I mean, that's one of the things. I thought there was too much in this episode. It's everything but the kitchen sink. But in this case, the kitchen sink was there somewhere. It just felt like there was too much. And I don't necessarily, that's very difficult to do. There's a couple of episodes that do it better, I think. But this one, I don't think, did a really good job with it. It just felt like, oh, and look, it's this person. Oh, look, it's that person. It's like, what is this? Kind of like a reunion show or something? And it didn't all make sense. You're going to bring back a pirate and his kid and bring him on board a space station. What are they going to do? I mean,
well, it's, I figured just, they just needed bodies to take care of the other bodies, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised the pirate ship wasn't there. You know?
How does River keep escaping this supposedly inescapable prison?
The doctor gets her out, is my understanding.
I thought she used like the lipstick to kiss her way out of.
I don't think she kisses the guard. She did that once. And took up on that.
Oh, yeah. But
like, how did she get from the prison to Demon's Run? Because that's never answered. She just shows up.
And then the doctor trusts her to get everybody home. So I think the doctor at some point gave her a device to, like the thing that Captain Jack wears.
Yeah, the vortex regulator.
Yeah.
It's another one of those things that I have a lot of these questions in the Moffat era of like, what the heck is going on?
I mean, looking at the bigger picture, if you were going to kill the doctor, would you go to all this trouble to get a baby and raise it and have it regenerate and go through all these other things? There are simpler ways to do it. I mean, of all the convoluted plots,
this is the most convoluted.
Yeah.
Actually, I've always said that this whole story arc of River Song is so confusing. Like, I have had to watch these episodes multiple times to even barely begin to grasp what is going on because it's so confusing.
Well, I think.
But I like it despite all that because it's the romantic in me likes the idea of the doctor having a love. It likes the idea of her visiting all these different incarnations because I'm listening to the River Song audios at points. That part appeals to me, but if I think about it too much, then I get annoyed.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the River Song character in this episode. I know that goes again, but she also, like, you know, oh, wait a minute, you're the one who, like, oh, yeah, all that flirtness and stuff. I just, but you're right, it's so convoluted, and it wasn't always, I mean, I don't think when they created the River Song character that they knew that who that was going to be, obviously. They rewrote it later on, and he tries to be too clever. He tries to trick the audience. And so he comes up with these things to try to make sure that no one can guess what's going on. But when he does that, he lies, like you said. Mm-hmm. He makes people mad because the obvious answer that seems to be the best, he tries to do something that's so out there. And it just is too much. And he tries too hard to put us off the scent that it just, by the end of it, you're like, what? Wait a minute. What? And he goes, I'm cleverer than you are. But in his stories with Russell T. Davis, when we watched A Girl in the Fireplace, we're like, why are the robots on a spaceship worried about a person? And you're sitting there going, he's not clever. But at the end, you're like, oh, wait a minute. Now he's clever. And he was clever during those time periods. But during his time on the show running it, he wasn't as clever as he thought he was because he was too clever.
I think he makes things too convoluted a lot of the times, and he also leaves a lot of questions unanswered.
Yeah.
You're just like going, well, but what about this and what about that? And he's like, you know, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons that he had a lot of problems with the show toward, he just never gave up that whole thing and kept doing it. And it threw people off. Even though I like him as a writer and I still think he has some good stuff, his concepts are good. I mean, some of these concepts are excellent, but he wraps them in a very complicated story that's kind of like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anything else about this one?
Nope. Don't think so.
Okay, thanks for listening.